morning. It's great to see you here this morning. I want to welcome all of you who are visiting here for Father's Day or for other reasons. It's a great day to celebrate the Lord. And remember, no matter how good or bad your earthly father was, you have a Father in heaven that loves you beyond belief.
Amen.
Praise God for our Heavenly Father who loves us and sent His Son to die on the cross that we might have everlasting life. Praise the Lord for that. May you feel welcome and blessed as we worship the Lord together today. I used to tell my wife that I think I must have had an ancestor that was hung, because every time I wear a tie, I'm doing this like it's tight, and now I've got two on, and this one keeps disappearing somewhere or other. But it's good to be in God's house. Now remember, next week, I'm sure Leonard will say something about it. We got breakfast at 8 o'clock, and you're welcome to come and be a part of that, and then the Sunday school hour and worship afterwards. May we pray. Father, it's so good to be in your house. We thank you for a beautiful day. We thank you for your presence. Father, even as the sun shines down on us in a physical sense, we thank you that the sun, the S-O-N, Jesus, shines down on us, his love, showers us with that love, that forgiving love, that healing love, that grace love. Not that we deserve it, but that you give it because you do love us. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, we invite the Holy Spirit. Have your way here in this service. Speak as you desire to speak. You know every heart that's here. You know every person that might be listening out in the parking lot, every person that will later listen on the website. Lord, thank you that you're such a great God, that the Holy Spirit can fit a special word, a need, a blessing to every individual. That you're not limited by time and space. You're not limited in just speaking to one, but you speak to all. And we thank you for that, Father. Lord, we love you. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. We appreciate it very, very much. And good morning, everyone. Welcome to Father's Day, Father's Day service here at Barber's Grove. Good to see you. And Brother Tony, I think I'm going to have to give you the award for the most family members attending this morning. He's got about two pews full back there. And so congratulations on all that. My son and daughter-in-law's here. And all you visitors are here this morning. I'm trying to look over, make sure I didn't miss anyone. But you visitors, thank you for coming. You're certainly a part, a welcome part of our service today, and our honored guests. And we thank you for being here. As we do every Sunday, we want to have a hymn sing. And in doing so, this morning I picked out a prayer for Father's Day. This should be a prayer for all fathers. Matter of fact, it should be a prayer for all of us as we stand together this morning and sing, "Take My Life, Lead Me, Lord." As we all stand, let's all sing all three verses together. Beautiful prayer in song this morning. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Here am I, send me, Lord. Here am I, send me, Lord. Make my life useful
Here am I, send me, Lord. Here am I, send me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee.
And everyone said, amen. Amen. Welcome someone this morning, please. Thank you, Kathy. Indeed, it is a pleasure to have you this morning. I want to first thank the ladies for supplying coffee and donuts out here in the vestibule. And by the fact, there's probably some left yet. And so after service, if you want to go out there and grab you a donut, a cup of coffee, some orange juice, it's out there. Just follow through the door and to the left, and you'll be just perfectly right to do that. We thank you for that. We appreciate it. Love donuts. Y'all didn't know that, though, did you? Oh, my goodness. Do that. I have some announcements I want to share with you. The first thing I want to share is about Vacation Bible School. No, first let me just do it in the right order. First thing I want to do is talk to you about Wednesday night. Make sure you're here on Wednesday night. Come and be with us in our prayer service. Come and be with us in our Bible study. It's an important time. We could all be and come together to do that. Now let's talk about Vacation Bible School. Miss Rita has got everything put together with her help that she's got with Chris and but also with Janice. They've all worked to get this going. So it'll be Vacation Bible School. We'll be for opening will be open tonight. Will be July the 1st. And then I guess I got that right. And then Saturday, one-day event, we'll kick it off on June the 30th. Okay? So please join us for this amazing time. Invite your friends and all. Okay? Did I get that wrong or reversed?
Yeah, it's reversed.
I did get it reversed, didn't I?
We'll do Friday before Saturday.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. I realized after I read it that I did it that way. So
we'll do Friday night, June 30th. That'll be our kickoff.
I'm just so glad you're paying attention.
Yeah. Then Saturday we'll be here, come for breakfast, and we'll get started with our Bible.
Yeah, course. I'm better off I don't try to read. I just say it, and I'd be better off. Okay. All right, so y'all be here at the right time, and I'll try my best to as well, okay? All right, okay. June the 11th, all adults who meet in the sanctuary, we hear this special time in this church to study on the growth of a church. Be sure that you're here. Lionel's continuing the study, and you all be here, and let's look together. So we've got one more Sunday, right, Lionel? That will be here, and so y'all come and be part of that. It's a wonderful study, a great challenge to us, a great challenge to us. Talks about a lot of change that's inevitable and things that we have to deal with. So you all come and be part of this. CPR certification. Michael and y'all and everybody here, we are waiting to... If you're here and want to offer CPR certification course for those in the church who need to renew or to get additional certification, please place your name in the sign-up sheet. So CPR is an important thing. I had to learn that back years ago, and it's even changed since I've learned it. So you all make sure that if you need to be recertified, come and do that. Then church breakfast next Sunday, Brother Jeff, is we have pancake breakfast, right? And do that, and go ahead and start. Cooks, you need to be here at 6, and then 8 o'clock breakfast, correct? You want to add anything to that?
I need to see the Baptist men down front for 5 minutes.
Okay. And I need to see the nominating committee down front, 5 minutes, and it won't be over 5 minutes right on this side. It won't take long, I promise you. I know your families are here, and you need to, but it won't be but 5 minutes, I promise. Okay. Are there any announcements I've overlooked? All right, okay. Then let's go to our prayer request this morning. And do I have any prayer requests this morning? Yes, Robert.
Jason Aldridge.
All right. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Stacy.
Little Judah Thompson, Taylor Thompson.
Yes, uh-huh.
He's back in the hospital.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. Yes, remember Lionel, right? Yes.
Lou Eubanks.
Yes, uh-huh.
Santa Claus Space Sister Lou Eubanks.
Yes, uh-huh.
Just heard this morning she's been taken to hospice.
Okay. Okay. I got you. Yes, sir, Tony. Is that Steve over there? Okay. Yeah, there he is. Yeah.
Jeff.
Excuse me, it's Brett. Jeff. I shouldn't forget that. My son's Jeff. Okay. Yes.
Karen.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah. Garrett Lauder. He's battling some colon cancer. I found that out yesterday.
Okay. We'll get all those into the Lord's hands to handle. We'll do that. Anyone else? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord. First, and as always, before I ask you for your help and for your anything, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all you've already done for us. And thank you, Lord, for being able to get out of the bed this morning. Thank you for being able to be here. And then, Lord, those who prioritize their time this morning to be in your house and to be able to worship today, we thank you for them. Now, Lord, as we go forward in today's service, Lord, we know we have those who are taking part, those who are taking part in the singing, with Miss Rita and Miss Kathy, we pray for them. Our pastor, Lord, who will be coming and giving the service to us today and the sermon, we pray for him. And then, Lord, on this Father's Day, Lord, we lift up fathers to you. We pray, Lord, for praying fathers. We pray in fathers for our nation. We know, Lord, that good parenting is a problem. And we know, Lord, that we need your guidance. We know, Lord, we need your help. We pray for our nation. We pray for our fathers. And then, Lord, those specifically, Lord, that have been asked for prayer this morning, we pray for Jason Aldridge. We pray for little Judah Thompson, Lord, who's battling cancer. Lord, we do pray for him. For Miss Lou Rebanks, we pray for her. As Lord, as she's with hospice now, Lord. We pray for Lori and travel. We pray for traveling mercy for her. We lift her up to you, Lord. We pray to have this beautiful praise report from Tony. We thank God for Jeff's recovery. And then for Karen Morgan, we lift her up to you, Lord. Garrett Lauder. And then, Lord, as we go forward in the remainder of this service today, we're going to lay it all, Lord, into your hands, your guidance, and your many blessings, we pray. On this Father's Day. And these blessings and this prayer I make in your name. Amen. I've asked in our praise team this morning, two members of our praise team to help us this morning with Father's Day service. First, I'm going to get Miss Rita, if you'll come and lead us in what the Lord has laid on your heart to do. Then after Miss Rita is through, Miss Kathy's going to come and do a solo for us as well. So, Ms. Rita.
The song I picked for this morning is Shout to the Lord. And Lionel, we talked a little bit in Sunday school about not using personal pronouns. But today we're going to talk about my. We're going to talk about what Jesus is to us. He's my comforter. He's my shelter. He's my refuge. He's my strength. And so that's what this song talks about. And so if y'all will stand with me and let's sing together.
To praise the wonders of your mind.
Good morning. As I was researching songs to sing today, this one is an old song. I know it was popular probably 12, 13, 14 years ago. It's written on the perspective of the father, but we can easily change the words and make it mother, aunt, uncle, grandparent, mentor, friend. It's a wonderful song about wanting to be just like Jesus. So the words are up. If you know it and you want to sing along, please help me. I would love to have a little bit of help. So thank you.
In my lap for a good night hug. He calls me Dad and I call him Bub. With his faded old pillow and a bear named Pooh, he snuggles up close and says, I want to be like you. I tuck him in bed and I kiss him goodnight, tripping over the toys as I turn off the light and whisper a prayer that someday he'll see he's got a father in God, 'cause he's seen Jesus in me. Lord, I wanna be just like you, 'cause he wants to be just like me. I wanna be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see.
I will make you fishers of men.
Thank you, Leonard and Rita and Kathy. And I was thinking yesterday, sort of along the lines of what Kathy just sung for us, let's so live that our parents could say, I'm glad to have him for our son or our daughter. And let's so live that our kids can look up to us and say, I'm glad to have him or her for my dad or my mom. Because, you know, sometimes a kid's ashamed to go to school and say who my dad or my mom is. And sometimes it's the other way around. The parents doesn't want anybody to know that that's his kid or her kid. Let's live such a godly life that our lives bring glory to our family. I guess it's been 40 years or so, but I remember a lady that was in a member of another church came to me and said, Ed, says, where are the godly men? And I didn't know that much about her church, but evidently in her church there was not a lot of men that showed themselves to be like Jesus. And I know this is Father's Day, but I pray that what the Lord's given me to share is for all of us, starting with the fathers, but for all of us. It's been about 70 years, but I still remember as a kid that we had a 16-year-old in our church that was killed in a tragic car accident. I didn't know him well because he was a little older than me, and but I did know him. And over the next several months, as people talked about this young man, they kept using the phrase, it's not how long you live, but how well you live. Evidently, there was something about his life that even in 16 years, his life showed forth Jesus. After I became a pastor, had a 15-year-old girl in my church that was killed again in a tragic car accident. I knew her well. She was sweet. She was pretty. She was loving. She was kind. And quite honestly, she did more for the kingdom of God in her 15 years than some 75-year-old deacons I've met in the last 50 years. There was just something about her life that just oozed the presence of Jesus to everybody that she met. And her parents were grieved, but over the next year or so, they kept getting reports from here and there and other places where their precious daughter had made a difference in somebody's life in 15 short years. Now, we have a limited control over how long we live. It's a whole different Bible teaching to talk about how long we live and what we can do to maybe extend it or shorten it. And we won't get into that this morning. We have some limited control, but ultimately we don't have total control over how long we live. But you do have control over how well you live. You have control over how well you live, what kind of life you live, what kind of example you set for your family, and for the people that know you. How well we live depends upon the choices that we make. Now, you may think this is strange, but we're going to look at a couple of Old Testament passages to give us some thoughts to consider. Let's go first to the book of Genesis, chapter 5. Genesis, chapter 5. And we'll start at verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. You think you're old. But isn't it interesting but sad? Methuselah lived 969 years, the longest lived person recorded in the Bible. And all it can say about 969 years, he lived, he had some kids, and he died. There's not one good thing that's said about Methuselah. You'd think in all of that length of time, he would have done something noteworthy that would have brought about some praise. Something noteworthy that would have brought about some commendation. But he just lived, but evidently he didn't live well. But now look there at his son, his dad, Enoch. Enoch only lived 365 years. Now compared to today, that means he died in his 20s. And yet twice it says Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. There was something about Enoch's life that he had a companionship with God that was so special that when he came to the end of life, 365 years, says God took him. He went to join the Lord, and we don't know why. I mean, I'm sure that you've heard the old expression, they were just walking along one day, and the Lord said, Enoch, we're closer to my house than yours. Why don't you just come on and spend the night with me? Come home with me. I don't know. But Enoch walked with God. He lived well. He was an example to the people around him. He was an example to his family. He lived a life that made a difference. And because of that, eventually he left this world to be with his Heavenly Father. It's not how long you live. It's how well you live. One lived a long time, but evidently didn't walk with God, didn't accomplish anything. One lived much shorter, like the two children, the 16 and the 15-year-old that I talked about. But because they walked with God, it made a difference. Are you walking with God? Can you say, I walk with God? I walk with God on a daily basis. I walk with God closely. First place, if you're going to walk with God, you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If not, you and he aren't going in the same direction. You see, you've got to be going in the same direction if you're going to walk with somebody. When the service is over, some of you are going out that door, some of you are going out this door, some of you are going out that door. But if you go out that door, you're not walking with somebody that's going out that door. In order to walk with God, first you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. There is no other way to walk with God except to know him. And if you're going to walk with God, you and he are going to have to be going at the same pace. I think about back when I was pastor at Prospect, in bad weather, I used to go down to, well, I still think of it as Quinby Mall, but Stanley Commons, and you know, join the people that walk around inside in bad weather when it's raining or cold. And I had a church member that also went down there to walk. And there were times, you know, I'd walk in and he'd be right there at the door and we'd start walking together. But his legs were longer than mine and he walked faster than me. And by the time we got maybe far from here to that door, he was already off the porch. By the time I made a lap, he'd made a lap and a half. He was so much faster, long-legged and faster than me, I couldn't keep up with him. I wanted to walk with him and talk with him. I enjoyed his company. I enjoyed his his wisdom and everything. He was older than me. But we couldn't walk together because we weren't beginning to go the same pace. If you're going to walk with God, you have to be going in the same direction. You have to be going in the same pace. Now think about it. When you were just dating, can some of you remember that far back? And how you took your sweetheart's hand, walked down the road or walked down some path. It didn't matter how fast you were going. It just meant that, you know, you were holding your sweetheart's hand and you were in love with each other and you were sharing your hopes and your dreams, your plans for the future. And you didn't want the walk to ever end. You just wanted to keep walking and walking because it was such a thrill and such a special relationship to just hold your sweetheart's hand and keep walking. Is that the way you feel about the Lord? Is that the kind of relationship you have with your Heavenly Father? That you just feel like there are times that you and He join hands and you're in no big hurry. You share your thoughts, your dreams, your hopes, your fears, and He shares with you. You say, well, preacher, how does He share with me? One, He shares with you through the Word of God as you read and study it. But He also shares with you as you are walking and you're talking and you're sharing, and suddenly this verse will pop into your mind, that verse will pop into your mind, another verse will pop into your mind, and you just know the Lord's speaking to me. The Lord's sharing wisdom, the Lord's sharing guidance, the Lord's sharing correction, whatever. You're just walking and you're holding hands with your Lord, and you're fellowshipping together, same direction, same pace. And if He says we need to speed up, now sometimes you would have never, I don't think, done it with your sweetheart, but you might come to a fork in the road or a crossroads. You're going to go the same direction. Now occasionally, and maybe more than occasionally, the sad thing is that some of us get to walking with God and we come to a place, a fork in the road, and God says, we're going this way. And you say, no, I'm not going that way. God says, no, we've got to go this way. And you say, no, I'm not doing that. And we end up separating. You know, one of the things that breaks a pastor's heart is to have young men in the church and their families, and they're in their 20s, 30s, early 40s, and they're living for the Lord, and the church elects them as deacons, and they're following the Lord. And then you go back to that church when those men are in their 60s, and God went one way and they went the other. When we first moved back from Oklahoma, ran into a couple at Walmart, and I'd been told that they moved from Stanley County to the beach, but they said, no, they still lived at the same old place. I said, well, where do you go to church now? Oh, we don't go to church anymore. If you'd have told me that 40 years ago, I'd have said, it will never happen. That guy and his wife are so in love with Jesus, and he's a deacon, he's teaching Sunday school, he's teaching extra Bible studies. She's involved with the youth, or they're both involved with the youth and everything else. And then all of a sudden, 40 years later, they've got no relationship with the Lord. God says, we're going this way. They said, no, we're not going with God. How blessed you are if you can say, all my life, I've had a relationship with the Lord that was special, He and I have walked together. We've gone through some rough times. We've gone through some good times. But he's never left me. And I've clung to him. We walk with God all the way through. That's a very special thing. Are you walking with God? Can you say, I'm really walking with God? It's a special relationship, just like two sweethearts. And I know it's some, maybe it doesn't ring right with you to think of God as your sweetheart, but he loves you. What does the scripture say? God so loved. We love him because he first loved us. We walk with him. We love him. Now, we're going to look at another passage in the book of Exodus. Sort of a practical steps of walking with God. Or some ideas about that. And as I've already said, if you're going to walk with God, you've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus. There's no walking with God because Jesus is going one way and you're going another. But if you're going to walk with God, you've got to be completely committed to him. Totally, completely committed to the Lord. We have to be able to go in the direction he's going, at the pace he's going, in fellowship and harmony with him. Now in the book of Exodus, and if you want to turn to, let's see, about the 8th chapter of Exodus. You remember the story. Children of Israel are down there in Egypt. They're in slavery. They're miserable. They begin to cry out to God and say, God, deliver us. And so God sends Moses to deliver them. And I imagine if I asked most anybody in this room to stand up and tell me about the deliverance from Egypt, you'd talk about God calling Moses at the burning bush, Moses confronting Pharaoh, all of the 10 plagues, the dividing of the Red Sea, the Israelites going through on dry ground, and the Egyptians drowning. Remember that story? You remember that story? But you know, there's some little tidbits in the middle of that story that sometimes we just overlook. And it says, those little tidbits say something about our walk with God that are very special. Now, we're going to read first Exodus chapter 8, verse 25 through 32. Now, Moses has already been before Pharaoh and told him, let my people go. God says, let my people go. And they've had some, you know, Moses and Aaron have performed some miracles like throwing down the staff and becoming a snake and picking it back up. And the Egyptian witchcraft leaders throwing their snakes down. I don't think that's not what they call them, but you know, and then Moses' snake swallowing all of their snakes and all of that kind of stuff. And Pharaoh has halted and hardened his heart. And suddenly, you know, they keep saying, we need to go out and worship. We need to worship the Lord. And I think the what Moses has his plan is, we're going to load up everybody. We're going to tell Pharaoh we're going to go worship, and we're not coming back. We're just going to keep right on going. And maybe we'll be so far gone that by the time he realizes we're not coming back, he won't bother to come after us, and it'll be too late. We'll be free. So anyway, in verse 25, we read this. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far and treat for me. You see, they were under a plague. And Moses says, we need to go out into the wilderness at least 3 days, because if we stay here, see, Pharaoh says, don't go. Just go ahead and do it right here. You don't have to go out in the wilderness. Moses said, we got to go 3 days out in the wilderness, because if we do our sacrifices, the Egyptians are going to stone us. They're not going to like what we're doing. And did you catch what Pharaoh said? First, he says, just stay right here and do it. And then finally he says, okay, you can go, but you can't go but 3 days. Devil ever tell you, don't let your faith in Jesus get too radical. Don't become a fanatic. You don't have to really get involved in church. You don't have to really become really sold out to Jesus. I mean, after all, you can just sort of get one foot in the church and one foot in Christianity and keep one foot in the world. The devil is good at trying to get us to compromise and be a lukewarm, half-committed Christian. Pharaoh is saying, now, don't take this thing so seriously. You don't have to go off somewhere and really get committed to God. Just stay right here. How many of us have had friends, family members, said, I know you say you're a Christian, but you can drink with me, you can party with me, you can do this, that, and the other. Just don't make it so radical. You don't have to be so totally committed to Jesus. And you catch what Moses said, that's not going to work. Now, let's go on down to Exodus 10. Exodus 10. And verses 8 through 11. And Pharaoh comes up with a different excuse. Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will, and I will let you go. And your little ones, look to it, for the evil is before you. Not so, go ye now that are men and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out of Pharaoh's presence. Pharaoh says, all right, who's going? Moses said, we're all going. And Pharaoh says, you guys can go, but leave your family here. You guys can go, but leave your family here. Don't make your Christianity a family affair. Folks, some of the most precious moments of your life is when a husband and wife pray together. When a family gets together and prays together, and study God's word together. The devil wants us to just become a lone ranger believer. But God wants us to have a family together. There was a church up in Tennessee that Pamela and I visited because she had family members that attended that church. We attended it 3 or 4 times over a few years. And they had a lot bigger space than this. out front, and you'd walk in, and as visitors, we'd just sit down. But up here, all around the front, before, and they didn't have Sunday school, just had worship service. There'd be little family groups, husband, wife, and kids praying together. Husband and wife and kids praying together. Husbands and wife and kids praying together. Husbands and wives and kids praying together. And about the time that, you know, there'd be some music playing in the background, sometimes they'd just sort of somebody would begin to sing a little chorus, and it would just be a chorus that of worship and praise across the group. And when it was time for the service to start, they'd get up, and husband, wife, and kids would come, and they'd lay their offering together on the table. And I thought, this is so awesome. And every time we were there that they did that, I was just touched by the fact that it was a family affair to worship and to give. Godly families make a difference. Godly families make a difference. Well, there's one more. Exodus 10, verse 24. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, "Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you." And Moses said, "Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind. For therefore must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not what we must serve the Lord with until we come hither." But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. You see this third compromise? Don't get your finances involved. Go and serve the Lord, but leave your cattle behind. In other words, don't let that which you own be committed to God. And if we're going to walk with God, everything that we have belongs to Him. Did you notice what Moses said? We're not leaving one hoof behind. We're not leaving anything behind. We need it all, because who knows what the Lord is going to need till we get to that place. In your life and in my life, when we're totally committed to the Lord, when we're walking with the Lord, today He may need us to stop at Walmart and pray with somebody. Tomorrow He may need us to buy somebody's groceries. The next day He may lead us to pray for some stranger. The next day He may want us to just take $25 out of our pocket and hand to somebody that we know is hurting. Some widow or single mother that's trying to make her feed her family. We don't know, but when we say, "Lord, everything I have is committed to You." Pharaoh says, Don't get your finances involved. I have a preacher friend that his church is a lot bigger than mine, but he said he always tried to carry a $100 bill in his pocket so that at any point the Holy Spirit could say, "That person's in need," and he would give that money. Now, I have no idea how many he gave away. That's between him and the Lord and the people that he gave it to. But you see, that man was totally, totally committed to God. He was committed himself, his family, his finances. If we're going to walk with God, we're going to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're going to be committing our own life to the Lord. We're going to be doing everything we can as a family to serve the Lord. And all that we have, up to the last hoof, is going to be at the Lord's disposal. It's not how long you live. It's how well. One day, each one of us will depart this life and lead to another. Will the people we leave behind say, he or she lived their life well? When we step into the presence of the Lord, will he say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I challenge you to live your life well. It's not how long you live. It's how well. As we have a time of invitation, if there's someone that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I'll be glad to share with you. If there's somebody that needs to come to the altar and just talk to the Lord, it may be about you, it may be about your family, it may be about our church, it may be about something else. Feel free to come. Someone needs to become a member of this church, we invite them to come. Whatever the Lord would say to your heart, would you respond as we have this time of invitation? Would you stand? Be seated for just a minute, except for the men. I understand that they want to take a picture of all of us guys with our ties. All right, I'm going to have a prayer, and then remember, Jeff wants to see the men, and Leonard wanted to see the nominating committee. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.